The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now, a Garda investigation is underway following extremely grave, that's what they're calling them, extremely grave threats made against the Thánaiste Simon Harris's children. Investigators from the Special Detective Unit, which oversees threats to national security and violent political extremism, will be pursuing the matter. Meantime, the temperature of the presidential race heating up a bit with the developments over the weekend. Jim Gavin in the frame. Where does that leave MEP Billy Kelleher? Well, for more on all of this, I'm joined by Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. He's going to explain everything to us now. Sean, good morning.
Going to try anyway. Thanks. Morning, Pat.
Okay, Jim Gavin's entry, I mean, much talked about and then finally a reality.
Yeah, finally announced, and Billy Kelleher sort of forcing the issue, as it were, before Micheál Martin necessarily wanted to do it by, as Shane Coleman put it the other day, being a stalking horse for himself and putting himself into the campaign. So this all unfolded very quickly in a matter of hours on Friday, where James Lawless, or Billy Kelleher firstly, wrote to the parliamentary party and said, yeah, I'm in, I want to run, I want to be a candidate. James Lawless then down in Wexford, the Minister for Higher Education, became the first cabinet minister to back Jim Gavin. Jim O'Callaghan's the only cabinet minister of Fianna Fáil now not to be backing him at the moment. We don't know what way Jim O'Callaghan is going to go. And all this came out quite rather quickly. Bertie Ahern saying he'd been a bit hard done by, hadn't got a clear answer out of Micheál Martin, when we all knew Micheál Martin didn't really want him to run. Mary Hannafin over the weekend as well. But it looks as though the two serious contenders in Fianna Fáil, Billy Kelleher and Jim Gavin, and it is leaning very heavily towards Jim Gavin.
I was, Mary Hannafin is a very nice person, and I'm sure she would have done a great job, but she seemed to feel very aggrieved about the party. You know, they don't want me.
Yeah, I think it was the manner in which it happened as well, in that she had reached out to Micheál Martin, looked for his support and his endorsement, and she had written to all of the parliamentary party. And even after that, everyone in Fianna Fáil was kind of scratching around in the media and elsewise going, oh, we need a candidate, we need somebody to come forward. And she's there going, you know, my hand is up. And then never got a call afterwards from Micheál Martin to say, actually, I'm going with Jim Gavin. No offence to you. Thanks for your interest, all that sort of stuff. So quite aggrieved over the weekend, but the writing was fairly well on the wall. I mean, when you, as it was put to me by one TD, if you can't win a seat in Dunleary in two successive Dáil elections, you're not going to be the presidential candidate.
So where does that leave us? A competition within Fianna Fáil?
Looks like it. We still don't know the terms. Like, we obviously knew the terms for Fine Gael, and tomorrow they're going to announce probably Heather Humphreys, because they've set such a high bar to get on the ballot. We don't know necessarily do they need the backing of X number of TDs or whatever to force an internal contest, but it does look that there will be one between Billy Kelleher and between Jim Gavin. As a minister said to me the other day, it seemed all summer that they didn't really have a great candidate. Now, like the 46A, they have two come along at the one time. And while a lot of people are leaning towards putting their support to Jim Gavin, they don't necessarily see that as being big offence to Billy Kelleher. They would be happy with either. They just think he's a bigger name, more well-known.
It's about who's most likely to win. So it depends who you're up against, doesn't it? I mean, Jim Gavin is, to an extent, a national name, but he's Dublin-centred, although his family, I think, are from Clare. So there's a bit of the hinterland there. But he would be seen as the reformer of Gaelic football. And his exemplary career in the Air Corps and so on and so forth. You know, he's got a lot of things going for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of boxes that they're trying to paint that he has, that it's not just the GAA man, that he's been looking over the North Inner City Task Force. There was the Citizens Assembly on Dublin. Like you say, there was his past in the Defence Forces. And it's interesting because it's kind of a battle between your establishment party politician and a total newcomer to politics, but who has the celebrity factor and that wow factor outside of Dublin. I know I joked with you the other day, will he get a single vote in Mayo or Kerry? I don't know. But it sets up nearly this rural-urban battle, if it is him, because you've got the likes of Heather Humphreys, the former Monaghan TD, you've got Catherine Connolly in Galway as well. So there's this interesting urban-rural thing going on, too.
Now, I've seen Jim Gavin in action. I mean, besides on the touchline, I've also seen him at conferences and so on, giving speeches. You wouldn't say he's that media-friendly, though?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not the most avid follower of Gaelic football, so I'm sure people will text in with examples of it, but he never lit up a mic or lit up a press conference really during his time. He was well known and very well respected because he led one of the most, if not the most successful team of all time. But he must have something more to be able to inspire and manage that team is sort of the thinking. He has never really shown it in the media wise. I'd be interesting to see, and you've heard some people say at different conferences and stuff, they've seen a different side of Jim Gavin than we've seen in the media. But it would be fascinating because you are now under, you're playing a senior hurling, for want of a better phrase of it. You are under a much different spotlight. You have to perform in debates. You have to give something of your own personality, which I'd say is something he hasn't done a massive amount. And of course, as is pointed out in the papers today, we don't really know his views on anything. I've been told his family is Fianna Fáil.
Isn't that the way a president is supposed to be?
Well, the ideal, I guess, but you still put them, Michael D has sort of turned all that around, hasn't
it'll
he?
Be interesting when, if he should become the Fianna Fáil candidate, to see a debate. Now, who he'll be debating against, would it be Heather Humphreys?
Yeah, probably. I think so. I think almost certainly it's going to be Heather Humphreys tomorrow.
So
I don't
rural
think Sean
versus
has the
urban. Then Catherine Connolly, who is obviously going to be in the frame. And she had a difficult weekend.
She did have a difficult weekend. And her campaign is becoming I won't go as far as saying it's unstuck, because that would be uncharitable. But there's just been a few little bumps in the road that haven't gone very well. Yesterday she had to defend meeting a supporter, the former Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. He said it was a mistake to do it at the time. That meeting and that trip that she made to Syria has come up a number of times already in different dispatches. She's been defending her association at various points of her career with the likes of Mick Wallace and Claire Daly, and backing Gemma O'Doherty in the last election. Alan Kelly's diatribe, I suppose, on Tip FM last week when he said he doesn't think the party should back her and he voted against her and she's never respected the Labour Party since she left, actually reflects the views of quite a few people I've spoken to in Labour. So even though they back her, it's not a wholehearted backing. And ironically, even though People Before Profit are doing more for her than any other political party, that's a double-edged sword, because a lot of people, when they see the association of the hard
left... Would you see this as a major misstep by Ivana Bacic?
I think Ivana Bacic was outmaneuvered at the early stage of this by the Social Democrats, who got in first, picked a candidate that was going to be Catherine Connolly, and they backed her. And Ivana Bacic had a difficult situation because she never had the numbers to back anybody. You know, she couldn't get a Labour candidate, be it a Brendan Howland or Fergus Finlay or whoever else. There just wasn't the option. She doesn't have the 20 votes to get them there. So she probably played her hand as well as she could, but it has certainly led to a split among the troops.
So now Mary Lou MacDonald is still being coy about everything. And, you know, Jim Gavin in debate against Mary Lou in debate against Heather Humphreys. That could be, I'd like to chair that debate.
I'd like to watch you chair that debate. I have to say, I'd love to see them in this studio doing that. That'd be, look, Mary Lou is the big domino still to fall. If she enters this race, she has every chance of winning it. I thought she had more of a chance before Jim Gavin emerged, because she then had the Dublin factor and had the star power, and she still does. I mean, if she were to enter, there's a lot of people who wouldn't vote Sinn Féin who would vote for Mary Lou MacDonald. She has that charisma, the charm. She's been through campaigns. Could she? I think what we're getting to here, Pat, is if Mary Lou enters, we have one of the most open presidential races possibly in history, in that I could see a very credible path for any of those four, of Catherine Connolly, Heather Humphreys, Jim Gavin, or her to win.
And your point is, whoever is leading after the first count is kind of becomes the hot favourite.
Certainly in the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil camp. So if Heather Humphreys could stay ahead of Jim Gavin, if Jim Gavin stay ahead, they'll transfer heavily to each other. There's obviously the split on the left if Mary Lou or any Sinn Féin candidate comes in on it, but particularly if it's Mary Lou, because she'll hoover up a whole pile of votes. I think if they decide, you know, there are other choices to back Catherine Connolly. I think the way her campaign is going, that's looking less and less likely. Or to field someone like a Rose Conway Walsh or an Angus O'Snoddy, who they know isn't going to win, but at least represents the party well on the national stage. And it could become just this very fast. You break it down into battles. Fine Gael versus Fianna Fáil, which of them can get ahead? Then can they stay ahead of the combined left-wing vote that would come together? Is there another independent who comes in and mucks that up through the council route? Like, there's all sorts of fascinating permutations.
Now, the other big story politically overnight is the threats to Simon Harris and his family online. And there, to be treated the way it is being treated by the Gardaí, it's got to have been a credible threat.
Yeah, it does. And a very serious credible threat at that, because complaints from politicians get referred to the Gardaí all the time and they look after them. But the level to which this is being taken, and having counter-terror Gardaí looking into this as well, it is a level above what we usually see. We don't know exactly what the post was or what the complaint has been. What we do know from what Simon Harris has said this morning is that it related to his children. And he has had a number of posts on social media recently about his children, one where they were in his office with him, another back to school post, very normal things that he puts up. He features his family quite prominently. He's gotten quite a bit of abuse under those, for the case of Harvey Morrison and his tragic death. And of course, I suppose what is the big failing of Simon Harris's career was the scoliosis promise that he made in the past that was never lived up to. But to go to this level for somebody to make a threat against anyone's, but in particular a politician's children, you know, it's a scummy thing to do. It's a horrendous thing to do in anyone's life. It's now being investigated very seriously, and you hope that whoever it is, they find and prosecute to the full extent that they can.
The question is how easy it is and what kind of cooperation you get from the tech giants in terms of tracking things down.
I think when you have this level of Gardaí in, it's very difficult to hide unless there's someone who's very sophisticated and able to hide that footprint. Like, they are good at finding these accounts. They have become more so now, as we've seen different cases of say, defamation online from anonymous accounts. This is something they deal with relatively regularly. And unless this person is some sort of a tech whiz, it's very likely they will track them down.
Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. Sean, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.